At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. Texas factory activity showed strong growth this month. That's according to a manufacturing survey from the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Several measures have reached 11-year highs. That includes the production index and the new orders index. The first rule of improv? Agree with everything. Someone says the sky is purple? Sure. Aliens are invading? Why not? Whatever comes your way, you roll with it. Art and Seek intern Miguel Perez talked with a new North Texas comedy group that's using this concept to help caregivers of people with dementia.
It's a Saturday afternoon, and a small group of people are waiting for their improv class to start. It's quiet. A middle-aged couple whispers to each other. A tall man in his early 30s checks his phone. Then Sherry Etzel marches in. Her charisma lights up the room. She's already well-versed in sketch comedy, but she's hoping today's class will help her in new ways. 4 years ago, her mother was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. Deposits of protein build up in the brain and affect memory and cognition.
For me, seeing my mom, who was a very joyful person, and she's lost all joy. And so it makes me very sad that you want to be a beacon and an encourager.
In fact, everyone here is a caregiver. Lindsay Goldapp is helping teach the class. She's the managing director of a new comedy troupe called Stomping Ground.
You know, I've been an improviser since 2001, but had also worked in mental health. So when I wanted to help start this theater, I knew that I wanted to make mental health a priority.
Improv, she says, is all about setting aside your ego for the greater good.
You're able to do that by listening and trusting your instincts.
Andrea Baum is co-teaching the class with Goldapp. She says those principles are exactly how you want to interact with someone who has dementia.
Really being able to listen to them, to convey empathy, to validate their feelings, to step into their world, and really be responding in a way that's useful.
Baum, who is a licensed counselor, says researchers used to think that correcting someone with dementia helped ground them in reality.
But now we know that to validate can be more helpful.
The rules of improv are perfect for spinning an argument into something more playful. Anything someone thinks up, the rest of the players follow along.
Let's all make an ice cream cone.
Yes! Let's!
I was in yogurt.
Whatever kind of yogurt you want to have.
Let's all paddle our canoe.
Yes, let's.
Etzel's an only child, and the role reversal that her mother's dementia has caused has been hard.
I've really realized how little patience I have. My tendency is to want to correct my mom. It made me think, okay, so what is the big deal, and why am I caring about winning?
Stomping Ground not only provides classes for caregivers, they have workshops for people with dementia, as well as autism and anxiety. This isn't a new concept. Researchers at Northwestern have been using a similar program called the Memory Ensemble to study improv's effect on people in the earlier stages of the disease. Research professor Darby Moorhart says that while improv doesn't affect cognitive function, it helps improve people's quality of life.
The feedback that we've gotten is that it has this increased sense of self-esteem. They recognize that they can take a deep breath and use their imagination in order to just cope with a lot of the changes that are going on every day.
Moorhart says that for patients in the later stages, improv may be a greater help to caregivers. Baum, whose father has a brain injury, has come to the same conclusion.
It keeps the caregiver calmer, less stressed. It keeps the person that they're caring for also calmer and less stressed. And it creates a different dynamic that maybe that relationship never had to begin with.
Etzel says she also likes the sense of community in the class.
You know, I think there was a camaraderie in that group. I thought I was the only one dealing with this.
Being a caregiver can be emotionally exhausting, so opportunities for her to connect and de-stress are vital. When she's in good spirits, her mother is likely to follow. For KERA News, I'm Miguel Perez.
Learn more about Stomping Ground's Improv for Life. That's at artandseek.org. Hot dogs and buns are made for each other. But a North Texan recently noticed a major flaw in their relationship. Andrew and Westlake asked about it on KERA's weekly call-in show, Anything You Ever Wanted to Know.
My question is, why do hot dogs come in packages of 8, but hot dog buns come in packages of 6?
One slight correction to Andrew's question. Hot dogs are traditionally sold in packs of 10, and buns are sold in packs of 8. To get the answer, KERA's Samantha Guzman dove into a bit of hot dog history, which begins at the beach.
Coney Island, the world's greatest fun frolic, with its beach miles long, all peppered with people. The place where merriment...
That's where Charles Feldman worked, a German immigrant who sold sausages from a pushcart.
When you're walking around on the bits of boardwalk that had been built at the time, you want to eat. So Feldman did what many Germans did and sold sausages publicly.
That's Bruce Craig. He's a self-proclaimed hot dog historian and author of Hot Dog, A Global History. Feldman is the man who is most widely credited with inventing the hot dog, although Craig has doubts about this, because it's said that Feldman designed a special roll to serve his sausages in, which inspired what we know as the hot dog bun today. But whether he invented the hot dog or not, Feldman is an important part of the story because he hired a Polish immigrant named Nathan Handworker to work in his restaurant.
Original Coney Isle. Hello, my name is Famous Frank.
Handworker was a Polish immigrant who came to New York, as so many others, and began working as a hot dog butcher. They didn't mean he made the hot dogs, it means he sold them.
Eventually, Handworker saved up enough money and opened up his own hot dog stand. That stand became what we know today as Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, which is arguably the most famous hot dog vendor in the world. Hot dogs quickly spread all across America. They become a big food item at other outdoor gathering places and become a staple at baseball games.
There's a fly ball out to right field. That ball is going, going, it is gone.
And while we can credit Handworker with creating that iconic image of a hot dog that captured Americans' hearts, it was another man who brought the humble hot dog into our homes.
That is what I truly like to be.
Like Feldman and Handworker, Oscar Mayer was a German immigrant who settled in Chicago. He started off as a small-scale butcher in 1883. Here's a story in Bruce Craig again.
They appeared at the Columbian Exposition in 1893, which gave them considerable exposure. Then they began marketing to local stores. Then they invented a cartridge, which was a yellow band, which they could put on every single sausage. This showed that their sausages were really handmade and really good.
After World War II, with the growth of factories and manufacturing, hot dogs start being made in large scale.
These ingenious machines automatically stuff and link the 84-foot strands of wieners. Artificial casing.
Oscar Mayer quickly becomes the leader in the market, partly because of that yellow packaging Craig mentioned, but also because they became innovators of the industry.
Oscar invented the first mass-produced hot dog machine, and they called it the wiener tunnel. The meat went in one side, and it turns around and outpours all of these hot dogs already packaged.
This large-scale manufacturing is why most of us buy hot dogs, and the hot dog buns, in grocery stores today. And usually those hot dogs are sold in packs of 10. Why are they sold this way? It all has to do with the weight.
In the industry, the hot dogs are named by their weights. Supermarket ones are 10 to the pound.
One hot dog usually weighs around 1.6 ounces, so 10 became the magic number to get to a pound, which is the standard measurement most meats are sold by. You can find packs of hot dogs with 6 or 8 dogs, but the individual hot dogs in those packs weigh more than the common 1.6 ounces.
You can make more money that way if you want, because if you sell 1.6 ounces rather than 2 ounces for a dollar, you're going to make more money.
Hot dog buns, on the other hand, are sold in packs of 8. And while it may seem easy enough to just add 2 more buns into a pack, 8 really is the magic number.
If you look at the industrialized systems by which buns are made, they're in trays of 4. They're made on conveyor belts, and packages of 4 work better than any other.
No one was really thinking of the hot dogs and buns being bought together when they created these industry standards. And that makes sense because in some places, those buns could be used for other foods like po' boys in New Orleans, for example. Or you could eat a hot dog without the bun. So that's the reason why hot dogs are sold in packs of 10, but buns in packs of 8. Samantha Guzman, KERA News.
So long forever.
Bum, bum.
Goodbye, my Coney Island.
Tonight will be cloudy and cold. Lows in the upper 20s across much of North Texas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.